The reading is from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of mountains, will be exalted above the hills, and the nations will stream onto it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations, and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. "Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Do the children want to come and gather at the front and we'll pray for you? I don't know what you see, but I see a generation rising up to take their place. To take their place here. Now. Not when they're older. Now. Isaiah said, "A little child shall lead them." Listen to him. Probably the most important words you'll hear this morning. Come. Let us walk in the light of the Lord. That's what he said. So let's follow. Let's walk in the light of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this generation rising up to take their place. Would you help all of us to play our part in helping them to grow up in faith? And will you give each of us the humility to sit at their feet and learn what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Amen. Amen. Come back and tell us what you've learnt. And I might even one week, I might not do it this week, but at some point I'll get the grown-ups to tell you what they've learnt. Because sometimes I think they learn more than we do. That's probably my fault, but you know. There are various traditions that surround the candles at Advent. There are arguments about colours. It's wonderful being the priest in charge because you get to win that argument. No, it's okay. There are conversations. What are we going to do for Advent? I think I remember Liz asking that question far too many weeks ago. The four Sundays of Advent, we think about different things. Sometimes we think about the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We did that quite recently. And then the second Sunday, you think about the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. The third Sunday, you think about John the Baptist. And then the fourth Sunday, we think about Mary. That's one of the ways to journey through Advent, and we've done that a few times. The other way is the way we're following this year. And that's to think about four words for each of the candles. And today, we light the candle of hope. I love that the church starts each new year with hope. Because when December the 31st turns into January the 1st, I'm hoping to get away with not wishing anybody a happy new year. Because I've done it a few times now. And I've said, I'm glad to see the back of insert really rubbish year of your life here. I hope that insert year of rubbish year of your life plus one here, will be better. When actually what you mean is I wish that this year will be better than last year. Hmm. 2019 was a bit rubbish for me. December 31st, 2019, I was like, Happy New Year. I really hope this year is going to be the best year of your life, 2020. So you get to December the 31st, 2020, and you're not shaking hands, you're still on Zoom. Or over the garden fence, or behind 48 layers of barrier material so you can see your elderly relatives behind a window 38 miles away. And you say, I hope next year is better than this year. And then I got to 2022. And any of the words I want to use to describe that year right now, I can't use in a church. I've given up wishing. You know, you give stuff up for Lent. I'm giving up something each week for Advent. And this year, I've given up wishing. I'm going to take up hoping. If I mash your brain in the next 10 minutes, forgive me. I hope that this will help somebody. If it doesn't help you, just flip your brain onto autopilot and it'll come back again onto course when we get to the next song. I think hope and Christian hope is something to do with the way that we experience time and the way that God lives in eternity. Let me try and unpack that. Time. You may have heard the phrase time like an ever rolling stream. Albert Einstein said, yeah, but it eddies and swirls, but it generally goes in one direction. Time is like being on the M1 in busy traffic. You're going this way, whether you like it or not. If you don't go this way, eventually time is going to catch up and whisk you that way anyway. Time catches up with far too many of us far too quickly. My knees didn't used to ache in cold weather. I'm convinced the ground used to be closer. We're in this stream of time. And we can see a little bit. We can see a little bit behind us. But it's also foggy. It's not as foggy behind us as it is ahead of us, but it's foggy. We can see a little bit behind us. And some of the things that have happened behind us are part of where we are now. The journey we've been on. But we only see this little moment of where we are. Sometimes in our mind's eye, we can zoom out. And we can see what's behind us. And sometimes looking through that and understanding the journey we've had is great. And we can plan. We can get our pencils out. Or we can get that wonderful little free disc that you got on the front of computer magazines back in the day. If you're old enough to remember when computers only talked to themselves and not to other computers. Or you could have an atlas. Who used to treat themselves to a new atlas for their car every year? Yeah, those are the people whose knees are aching, by the way. And you can plan your route ahead. For those of you who were younger, there was a problem with that. Because when the map was printed, They didn't know about the accident on the M1. So, if you are blessed to have a partner or a spouse who can read a map confidently and knows that turning left doesn't always mean that you're going west. She's not here yet. You could find an alternative route. These days, Google does it for you. It's like, turn around at the next opportunity. It even knows the traffic ahead and sends you a different way. It's great. But that's not what time is like. We don't know exactly what's coming. We can look, we can plan, we can think, we can have alternatives. I could have sat down at the computer of my life and with my little disc from the front of, you know, Life magazine and worked out my route plan. And I could have worked out 2 or 3 route plans. But what I don't know is there's a meteorite coming that's going to hit my car. So all of my plans to go on a motorway are either dangerous, illegal, or impossible. We are creatures of time. And then you hear the Bible talking about eternity. And some of you remember a Christian writer called Adrian Plass, who was an incredibly funny Christian writer. If you haven't read any of his books, they are well worth finding. I've got some copies on my shelves. Do feel free to bug me and borrow some. But there was one point, and in these books, he pretends to be a Christian in a church, and he writes all sorts of wonderful diary entries. And he writes about heaven, and he writes that he's having some really, 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 really challenging dreams about heaven. And one day he dreams that heaven is like Sunday morning at church, but that it lasts forever. And he wakes up with a panic attack. And then the next night he dreams that hell is like church every Sunday morning, but forever, and has the same panic attack. Because we are creatures of time, I think it's very hard to understand what eternity is. And all I can say is it's different. It's not time. It's not just a very, very long stretch of time. Somehow, the way that Bible talks about eternity is it's fundamentally a different way of existing as human beings. The Bible tells us that, you know, the worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. We are going to see Jesus with new bodies, not the old ones, new ones. That's promised. Jesus being born in a manger was about us getting bodies. We don't drift off to heaven to become some ethereal cloud spirit thing with wings and a harp. God's coming to earth. The new Jerusalem descending out of heaven. The new heaven, the new earth, a new creation in eternity. Not just in time that lasts forever. And there'll be a clarity. We'll be able to see. The best image I have is that if you imagine time is like a map and we're in the map, we can see our little bit of the map and where we are. Eternity is like looking at the map from above, being able to see the end from the beginning. But it's not a paper map, it's a Google map, it's a live map. It's a map that shifts and changes as people make those decisions. And God can see all of that. We're each free to make our own choices. It's not like some weird game of Dungeons and Dragons or some weird board game where your cards are planned out for you and you just have to follow the route that's been planned. That's not what it's like. We each are free. That's part of the gift of God, that we're free to make our own choices. But God can see the beginning from the end because he isn't on the map, he's in eternity. And so he can intervene now to help us to navigate what lies ahead. He can see now that the pain and the sorrow and the distress of this world will one day be redeemed, because that's his plan. He can see that the things he calls you to now, the things he heals now, the things he restores now, will help you with the road crash that's up ahead. Eternity is not just time lasting forever. It's a fundamentally different way of existing. And hope sits in eternity, not in time. Hope sits with God. The writer to the letter to Hebrews wrote some of the most powerful words, I think, in one of the epistles, one of the letters of the New Testament. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You can't use hope as wish with that definition. Hope has to mean something different. Hope means that there is a God who sees you and your life, and who knows each of the steps that you will take, who knows every skin cell on your head and counts them. I'm not going to have any follicleist teaching in this church. Sorry. Who knows you utterly? Who knows all of the journey that's behind you? And who knows all of the journey that lies ahead of you? And who promises to help you and equip you now through what you've experienced and through what he brings to you to navigate the way ahead, or to be ready for the road crash. Because you just might be first on scene. You might be the first responder to that road crash, and that might be what God has been training you to. Or it may be just something you have to get through, and God promises to get you through it. Because of hope. That God sees the end from the beginning and he intervenes. We don't believe in a God who sits over there on his throne and just sort of goes, or who occasionally visits places and goes, oh, lovely to meet you. Lovely to meet you. What do you do in the daytimes? Yeah. That's not God. That's not how God rules and reigns. God's hands are dirty in our world, raising up hearts, strengthening the feeble knees. That's hope, that we have a God who is active in our world. As I look around and see your faces, I know most of your stories, at least some of them. And I know that the God of hope has been at work on your journey and has brought you to a place that you could never have thought you would have gotten to, because you couldn't see the map. But God in eternity could see your life and place a lamp before your feet to guide you in his ways. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, being sure of the goodness of God, being sure of the presence of Jesus, being sure of the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. It's a beautiful old hymn, hallelujah, not as orphans are we left in sorrow now. We are never alone. We are never deserted. We are never defeated, because he sees us and knows us. And that is why we have hope, not wishes. So I'm going to wish you a hopey new year. A hope-filled new year. A new year that may contain pain and sorrow and stress and strain. And it may contain joy and laughter and delight and celebration. I haven't got a clue what 2026 is going to look like. But I do know that I want you and me to enter it with hope. Every so often, the secular world tries to do something and it cannot get away from speaking about God. I remember many years ago, I was at the crematorium in Rotherham. So that is many years ago, because it was when I was still a curate. And I had a service at midday, and then there was another service at 20 past, and then I had a service at 22. So I didn't even take me glad rags off. I just sat in the vestry office. And at Rotherham Crem, there was a little television screen and a speaker, so that the person pressing the buttons on the tape recorder, yeah, tapes, hands up if you used to have a tape recorder. Yeah, your knees will ache soon, if they don't already. You know the panic of hoping they got it the right way round in the tape recorder. And I listened to a funeral, and it was a humanist funeral. Each to their own. But at the end of it, this lovely lady said, "Jim, we commit you to the universe which created you, the love that sought you out and saved you, and to the life force which gave you all the gifts that you had." And I think there is still a dint in the floor in the vestry at Rotherham Crem where my jaw hit the floor, because she just prayed a really lovely Christian Trinitarian blessing. And she named Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I think sometimes the secular world can't help but hear the echoes of God and think it's them and not him. And I'm about to say some words that will start a tune going in some of your heads. I do not intend for this tune to be related to a particular football team. I'm looking at you two. And possibly you. It was from a musical called Carousel. Yeah, it's not football. They pinched it. And it's a song. Walk on through the wind. Walk on through the rain. Though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on. Walk on with hope in your hearts, and you'll never walk alone. If you go away from church today singing one song, let it be that one. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky. And the sweet silver song of the lark and the vision of the gates of the New Jerusalem, where those we love will be waiting to welcome us into his kingdom. Walk on through the wind. Walk on through the rain. Though your dreams be tossed and blown. if every year of my life is worse than the last one, I still want to walk with hope in my heart, because my life does not depend on what happens between here and the day that this heart finally stops beating. It depends on Him, because He has promised me eternity that starts now. Walk on. Walk on with hope in your hearts, and you will never walk alone. May the God of hope fill you with all hope as you trust in Him. Can you play the next video, please?